Okay, shalom to everybody. As we publicized, we're going to have learned something special in honor of Purim. And Rav Kook, as everyone, talks a lot about the concept of Vinna Hafochu, of turning everything around. And it's a good opportunity to notice the sense of humor of God, the way he runs the world. And what we're going to see is that the irony that's found in Megillat Esther is not a small issue, but it's actually, as we're going to see, a major central topic in Jewish philosophy and Jewish thought. Maybe we'll start with a screen sharing. There's a source that you might not have on the sheets that I sent out. But if you look together, here in source 1 with the asterisk, the Maharal, in his famous Sefer Or Chadash on Purim, on page Kuf Tzadi Vav, he writes, Klal hadavar b'megillah hazot, the general rule in Megillat Esther, ki ayah haman hachana l'mordechai, shekol davar sheratza haman lasot nefach alav v'davar ze yesod ha-megillah. Every single thing that Haman wanted to do to Mordechai, in the end it boomeranged and it hit him. Now the idea of the irony that I remember in high school, they taught us that, at least in some of Shakespeare's plays, what you have is that you have a 1, 2, 3, 4 stages, then you have the turnaround, and then you have the -4 -3, -2, -1. In other words, the irony of everything turning around, on the one hand, it's sort of funny. I remember everybody knows that the comics, the cartoons, they draw somebody slipping on a banana peel. Now, I don't know where that began, but I do remember when I visited Niagara Falls, if you remember, that there was this thing of putting yourself in a barrel, closing the barrel, and going down the Niagara Falls, going down the waterfall, and then they would open up the barrel and see if you're still alive when you got to the bottom. And one of the guys who survived, and he got to the bottom, and they opened the barrel, and he got out, and everybody was cheering, and he slipped on a banana peel, and he broke his foot, and gangrene set in, and he died right afterwards. And obviously, it's not funny the fact that somebody died, but the irony of somebody who made it all the way down Niagara Falls and then slipped on a banana peel, and that's what got him. There's something funny in that type of irony. I remember when Ronald Reagan, the president of the United States, they tried assassinating him, and the assassin missed, but his bullet hit the bulletproof window of Ronald Reagan, and then it bounced back, and then it wounded Ronald Reagan. In other words, those bulletproof windows that were supposed to protect him, in the end, that's what wounded him. And all of Megillat Esther is based on this, and we're going to see that Rav Kook talks, he's not writing here a commentary on Tanakh. We don't have to go through the whole story. Everybody remembers that the money, which was supposed to kill the Jews, in the end went to the Jews, according to the Midrash, paid for the Beit HaMikdash, and the tree that Haman built in order to hang Mordechai, in the end, Mordechai hung Haman, and the horse, which was supposed to honor Haman, Haman ended up leading Mordechai, and really the entire Megillah is based on that type of irony. So let's see Rav Kook. This is from Ginzei HaRe'iya on the topic of Purim, page 29. Haman huzkar mem dalid pa'amim b'Megillah. Chavbet pa'amim ba'aliyato v'chavbet b'yiridato. After the introduction that I gave, you should all understand where Rav Kook is going. Haman is mentioned 44 times in the Megillah. By the way, if you count it, it comes out more, But in the footnote here, the editor writes that Rav Kook is referring to the number of times that Haman is on his way up and is on his way down. Something that just mentions that there was a person named Haman, that's not counted. So there are 44 times, 22, exactly half, are talking about his aliyah, his climbing, and then exactly 22, exactly half, are about his downfall. Continues Rav Kook. Bichlal haya inyano dam de adam. Here Rav Kook is talking Kabbalistically, but as we'll see, Rav Kook, even when he's talking in mystical terms, he connects it with the rational and with the pshat, the literal story in the Tanakh. He points out that 44 is the number of dam, blood. And Haman again is mentioned 44 times, 22 times on the way up, 22 times on the way down. And he is associated with that 44, with the number 44. Ki ratza lisaleka aleph ulashkin hadam. Adam, a person, is called in Hebrew Adam, where according to the Zohar, the aleph represents God. We all know echad mi yodea, who knows one? One is Hashem, he is the one and the only. So aleph, God, is the one who supplies man with his soul. But a person is not just an aleph. He is also a dam. Aleph, dam. Dam is as long as the body is functioning. How long? As long as the blood is flowing. So every adam, every person, is made up of aleph and dam. And Haman wanted to do away with the aleph. By killing the Jews, he wanted to do away with the aleph and just focus on the dam, on the mem dalit, on the blood. V'lo litpalel al adam, right? He wasn't just talking about davening on the blood. And here, Rav Kook is referring to the Gemara in Masechet Brachot that I brought for you in Source Bet. V'amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. My dichtiv, what's the pasuk? It says in Vayikra, lo tuchlu al hadam. You shall not eat on the blood. This doesn't say you shall not eat blood. That's a different pasuk. But it says you shall not eat on the blood or by the blood. What's that referring to? So, the Talmud gives several drashot. Lo tochlu kodem shitpalelu al damchem. You should not eat before you daven. Most of you are probably familiar that first you should say Modeh Ani, you should say the Berchot HaShachar, it only takes about a minute and a half, and before you eat, even before you have your morning coffee. And that is saying you should speak to God and pray for your soul, that soul which Haman wants to take away, before you eat. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Kol ha'ochel v'shote v'achar kach mitpalel, alav ha'katuv omer v'oti hishlachta acharei gavecha. Al tikrei gavecha, ele geyecha. That it's a matter of arrogance. If a person eats and satisfies his body before he talks to God, in other words, he invests in his dam before he invests in his aleph, then he, and it's a very serious punishment. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'achar shenitgayeze kibel alav malchut shamayim. He wants to accept God's yoke after he's finished satiating himself. In other words, Rav Kook here, getting back to Source Aleph, Rav Kook is saying, v'lo litpalel al adam. Haman wanted to take away the aleph, wanted to take away the tefillah, that we all remember that Esther prayed. As a matter of fact, Esther and her friends, they fasted for 3 days before she dared enter Ahasuerus's palace. That idea of not eating, again, Rav Kook is tying that with the Gemara of Masechet Brachot that we just saw, that how can you eat when you are praying for your aleph, when you are praying for your neshama, right? And therefore, let the dumb wait. Haman, adaraba. To the contrary, he focused on the dumb. He focused on the goof, the body. Wanted to take away the aleph. Uvekoach av bet atvan. Here Rav Kook adds another point. There are 22 letters in the aleph bet. Klal anagah shezarchu lo kesidran betchila ve'achar kach lemafreya. The idea, what is this idea that there are 22 Hamans on his way to success, and then 22 Hamans on the way down? So we already explained that 22 and 22 is 44, that Rav Kook explained. Now he's explaining also the idea of 44 is divided into 22 and 22, because there are 22 letters in the alphabet. And in Kabbalah we all know that a lot of the Zohar, a lot of the Jewish Kabbalah is based on the 22 letters of the alphabet, the symbolism of the letter Aleph, its shape, its numerical value, its name, its place in the alphabet, etc., etc. So there is significance in these 22 letters, and on their way up and on their way down, they turned around. And Rav Kook is telling us, "Bedinai tayri dato mapalato." When Haman fell down the 22 stairs, ki tashrak hu sod hadin. The idea of tashrak. Anybody who learned Masechet Rosh Hashanah, this should ring a bell. That the blowing of the shofar is called tkia. That's tough. Shin shvarim, resh. That's trua, and then kuf. That's the other tkia. This is the exact opposite order of the alphabet. We know the order of the alphabet is Pei Tzadi, then Kuf, Resh, Shin, Taf. What is the idea of turning it around? That is the idea of Vinafohu. The idea, what Rav Kook is saying, this is Midat Hadin. As Haman was climbing, it looked like it was bad for Am Yisrael, right? For every step up that Haman is taking, it's a step down for the Jewish people. On the other hand, after the turning point, when you have 22 steps down for Haman, it's really 22 steps up for the Jewish people. And that is the symbolism of the difference between Midat HaDin and Midat HaRachamim. Because God's, sometimes it looks like He's judging us. And when God is judging us, who can come out innocent? And that's when things sometimes look bleak in life. Sometimes they look black. And in the end, though, God is not just Midat HaDin, law and order, which is true, but He also has Midat HaRachamim, the idea of turning around that which was black, turning it around 180 degrees until you see Vinafohu, that it was all part of the godly plan. And that's how Rav Kook continues, Rak ha-mechokek chakaku l'rachamim v'chesed, uv'gmar chatima kishikra mifurash. What is sheker? Shin kuf resh. Sheker, we all know, is falsehood. It's a lie. Now sheker, that lie, that falsehood, is those same letters of shin, resh, and kuf. But they're jumbled up. And this is what's called, this world is called in the Kabbalah, Alma Deshikra, the world of deceit. Because what you see is just a facade. And again, even though it seemed that the Jewish people were on their way down and Haman was on their way up, those 22 letters exactly turned around. And that is the Midat HaRachamim, the kindness of God. Now this idea of turning everything around in the Megillah that Rav Kook is referring to is, as we saw in the Maharal, not just the importance of the Megillah, but let's look together in Source 2 where we see that Yitro says this is the basis of Jewish belief. In Sefer Shmot, Perek Yud Chet, we just read this in the Torah a couple weeks ago, what turned Yitro, remember Jethro, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end, he converted to Judaism. What turned him on to Judaism? Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Hashem. Blessed is God. Asher Yitzil Etchem Miyad Mitzrayim U'Miyad Paro. Blessed is God that He saved you, the Jewish people, from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Asher Yitzil Etam Mitachad Yad Mitzrayim. Ata Yadati. Here's the punchline. Yitro says, now I know, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim, that God is greater than any of the other false gods that the Midianites or the Egyptians were worshipping. They all believed in a lot of different gods, but this is the real God. Says Yitro, now I know. How does he know? Ki badavar asher zadu aleihem. Because that which the Egyptians wanted to do to the Jewish people, God turned it around 180 degrees, and he brought it upon them. What's it referring to? Rashi brings down in Source 3, hopefully we all remember this from our childhood, Ki badavar asher zadu aleihem kitargumo. As Targumunculus says, B'mayim damu le'abdam, the Egyptians wanted to drown the Jewish boys in the Nile. They wanted to drown the Jews and kill the Jews with water. Ve'him nevdu b'mayim. And God ironically turned the tables 180 degrees, and in the end, the Egyptians were drowned in mayim, in water. Why is that what turned Yitro on to Judaism? Why did that prove to him that the God of Israel is the true God? This idea of the Nahafochu, of turning things around 180 degrees, which is the basis of the Megillah, we'll see. The Yalkut Shimoni, source number 4, Yirmiyahu Shin Yud Tet, Remez Shin Yud Tet, reads as follows. Gadol ha'itza v'rava lilia. God has a lot of plans, and man has plans, but God turns plans around. I remember my grandmother used to say, there's a saying in Yiddish, that sometimes man, how does it go? Man plans and God laughs. Right. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Atam motzei b'machshava shechashvu ha-mitzrim la'abed et Yisrael ba'ani ma'abdem. The example that we just saw. Egyptians tried to drown us in water, and they were drowned in water. Continues the Midrash. Skip down a line. Vomer, another pasuk, bor kara vayichpareu. Somebody who tries to dig a pit so that the Jews will fall inside, in the end, he is the one who falls in the pit. Ve'omer yashuv amalo berosho. All of these psukim from Proverbs are telling us that whoever plans something against the Jewish people, they boomerang and they hit him in the head. Ve'omer kore shachat bayipol. Ve'omer chofer gometz bayipol. All of these psukim are coming to teach us the same idea. And the same thing, he goes on. Haman built a tree to hang Mordechai, and on that tree, Mordechai hung Haman. And the question is, why is this such a big deal? Why is this what turned Yitro onto Judaism? So the first point, we're going to mention Bezrat Hashem 8 points. We don't have too much time, so we'll do them quickly. Let's look in source number 5. The Gemara in Masechet Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tet, Amud Bet, famous Gemara, asks the question, Esther mina Torah minayin. We all know that Esther is among the last books which was added to the Bible. But is it hinted to in the Torah, the first book of the Bible? And Chazal tell us yes, because it says in Dvarim 31, Vanochi Aster Astir. God says, I will hide myself on that day. Now, it's not just a play on words. Esther, Astir. Esther means God is hidden. And if you want to take it a step further, Megillat Esther. Megillah means, is from the Shoresh, Ligalot, to reveal that which is hidden. Rav Kook used to write the word historia with a tuf, not a tet. In other words, historia is hesteria. God is hidden in history. And this lesson of Vinafohu, that everything turns around 180 degrees, that what the goyim want to do to us, Hashem turns it around and puts it on them, this shows us how we are supposed to read history. You have to look for God in history. But the irony of it shows us that it's not a coincidence. I remember one of the laws of logic. The Ramchal brings this. Aristotle also has a book, The Laws of Logic. One of the laws of logic is that a coincidence that repeats itself over and over is not a coincidence. Similarly, something which is too much of a coincidence, that's a sign that it's not a coincidence. And that is one of the ways that we see, and that Yitro sees, that God runs the world. That if something is too much of a coincidence, it's not a coincidence. Let's see another aspect. In Bereshit Rabbah. Bereshit Rabbah in source number 8. Again, maybe I should just point out on the previous point that as the Tanakh develops, as Jewish history develops, God does less and less supernatural miracles. He hides himself until in the final book of Esther, it's God's name is not even mentioned in the Megillah. In other words, as just like a child, as he develops, as he matures, his parents will give him more and more independence, more and more free will. So too God begins to hide himself more and more in Jewish history in order to enable the Jewish people more and more independence, more and more free will. Does that mean that God isn't around? Chas v'shalom. If you know how to read Jewish history, again, looking for the irony, that is how you will see it. A good example is the Six-Day War. I was just talking this week in a lecture, I mentioned this example. In the Six-Day War, the Arabs swore that they wanted to drive us into the sea. In the end, within 6 days, we doubled, maybe even tripled, the size of the entire state of Israel. Now, that is an irony that only God can do. And again, God stopped splitting the sea. God stopped doing 10 supernatural plagues. But if you want to see God in history, look for how he turns things ironically around 180 degrees, and that is the story of Megillat Esther. Let's look in Source 8, in Bereshit Rabbah. Rabbi Simon says as follows, Kol amidot batlu, midah keneged midah lo betela. There are a lot of different ways of explaining this, but according to the way that we're going, Rabbi Simon is telling us that God, again, stopped showing himself supernaturally to the world. So if so, how do you see God? Through midah keneged midah. That God is a just God, and everything that he does is just. So again, let's take the example of the Arabs in the Six-Day War. When they wanted to push us into the sea and eradicate the Jewish people, and then God turned the entire story around 180 degrees within 6 days, the United Nations could not blame us, because the United Nations knew very well what the Arabs would have done to us if they, Khalila, would have won the war. And this is part of the idea of the truth of the justice of God, that there is din and there is a dayan. I remember one time, it was the first year that I came to Israel, in Tafshin Lamed Tet, 1979, the first terrorist report of an attempted attack. I remember there was an Arab who, he wasn't a suicide bomber, he wanted to put a bomb on an Egged bus that was going from Yerushalayim to Be'er Sheva. Now, he planned on getting on the bus with his bomb, getting off in Hebron, which is in the middle, And then, a little later, it will blow up, and he already left the bus. Now, this stupid terrorist, instead of getting on the local, which makes a lot of stops, he got on the express bus. And when he noticed that the bus driver didn't stop in Hebron to let him off, he said, "Excuse me, can you please stop? I have to get off." And as a typical Eged bus driver, he said, "No, I'm not stopping. This is the express. I'm not stopping till we get to Be'er Sheva." Now, the Arab had a problem because he had this bomb and he didn't want to blow himself up. So he tells the bus driver, "Well, I don't feel well. I feel queasy. You don't want me to vomit on the bus?" And the bus driver said, "I don't care what you do." And he said, "But I have to go to the bathroom." "I don't care. I'm not stopping the bus until we get to Be'er Sheva." And here, the time bomb is ticking, and it's going to blow up pretty soon. And as the God of Israel would have it, the bus gets a flat tire. And right before the bomb is set to go off, the Arab terrorist runs off the bus with his bomb in the suitcase, throws the bomb to the side, and runs for his life, and it blows up. And the God of Israel, Baruch Hashem, saved us. Now, you know, a lot of times you hear about Arab terrorists blowing themselves up with bombs that they wanted to blow us up with. It's hard to feel sorry for them, because again, Kasher Zadu Alehem, what they tried to do to us, the Egyptians tried drowning us in water, so God drowned them in water. If the United Nations wants to say, "Hey, that's not very nice that God drowned the Egyptians in water," well, it just serves them right, because that's exactly what they wanted to do. And so this is point number two, that God runs the world. The idea of turning things around 180 degrees is connected with midah keneged midah, doing to them what they wanted to do to us. A third point is, let's see together in Source 11. There's a famous Gemara, the Gemara Masechet Gittin, Daf Nun Vav, which tells about how Titus, he had just destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and he's on the boat back to Rome, and he's bragging how he defeated the Jewish people, and he defeated the God of Israel, as if it were. And God wanted to punish him, and made a storm, and the boat was about to drown. And Titus, according to the Midrash, apparently he learned Tanakh, and he said, "God, you must just be the God of the water, because the Egyptians, you drowned in water, and me, you want to drown in water. But if you're really a man," he says to God, "let's go up to land, and then we'll fight it out." So God says, "You know what? I have the smallest creature, a yetush, a little mosquito. You think that you can take on God and land? I am going to take the smallest, weakest creature of land and send him up your nose." And all the children remember this, certain stories that Chazal tell us that you always remember for your whole life. And the mosquito went into his nose and started eating away at his brain. And that is how Titus died. Now, here, I remember as a kid hearing this story, and I said, "That is so cool. You let Titus choose how he wants to fight, and even with what he wants to do, you show him that God is really in control." I remember when I was a kid, I saw there was a movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And there's some guy who wants to fight Butch Cassidy to be the head of the gang. And he said, "As soon as anybody wants to fight me, I'll fight you. And whoever wins will be the head of the gang." So this guy Harvey wants to fight him. And Butch says, "You really want to fight? This guy is huge." And Harvey says, "Yeah, guns or knives, you choose." And I thought that was so cool that he's telling him, "You know what? You choose if you want to fight with guns, or if you're better in knives, whatever you choose, I am going to show you that I can beat you. And that is what Hashem is doing here. Hashem also, when he does, turns the tables around 180 degrees, ki badavar asher zadu aleihem, that v'nahafochu, Hashem is showing that he is totally in charge. He is so much in control. You choose the weapons. You want to hang us. You want to use water. You want to, whatever you choose, God says, I will do exactly that to you. And that shows a total control of God. A fourth point is source 13. The Yalkut Shimoni brings a pasuk, Al tismechi oyavtili ki nafalti kamti, a pasuk in Micha that says that don't be happy, my enemies, because I fell, but I will get up. Despite the fact that I fell, I will get up. Chazal say in the Midrash, ki does not only mean despite. What does ki mean? Because. Shanu rabotenu mitoch ka'as ratzon. Davka, when it seems that God is angry, he will show his love. Mitoch rogez rachamim. When it seems like he is angry, that's when God will show his mercy. Mitoch tzara rivacha. Davka, when things are bad for the Jewish people, that is when he's going to turn things around. Shne'emar etzara liyakov umimena yivashea. The pasuk is that it is a difficult time. It's a time of trouble for Yaakov. Umimena yivashea. From the tsaros themselves will come the Yeshua. And this is a fourth point, that we have to learn in life that even when things are going down, it's like a spring, where you push down a spring, the further you push it down, the higher it's going to go. And the further down you push the Jewish people, the higher they're going to rise. And that is another lesson about life in general. Even when things look black and bleak, davka, that which seems to you to be bad, which seems to be an accident, God, why do you do these things to me? So often, especially in Jewish history, when God turns the bad into the Yeshua, into the redemption itself, from the bad itself, from that water itself, from that tree itself, that shows how God runs the world. Another point, and this is point number 5. The Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael in source 14, Kasher hadavar hatov noda mehofcho yediya amitit. The best way of knowing something is by seeing the opposite. The best way of appreciating a color is when it contrasts another color. The best way of appreciating light is on the background of darkness. And that, the Maharal suggests, is another aspect of the philosophy of turning the tables around, of the v'nahafochu. What's the idea? Because it multiplies the greatness of the salvation. Not only were we here, but we were mamash going down, and when God turns it around 180 degrees, that makes us appreciate the salvation. Again, only after you see the danger that was before the War of Independence in 1948, or before the Six-Day War in 67, or at the beginning of the Yom Kippur War, only when you see that the danger was really real, or in the words of Moshe Dayan, it looks like this may be Churban Bayit Shlishi, the destruction of the Third Commonwealth. Turning the tables around helps us appreciate the redemption that much more. Point number 7 is, let's look together in source 15. The Gemara in Masechet Yoma, famous Gemara Resh Lakish says, Gedolat Shuvah Shezidonot Naaset Lo Kizchuyot. when a person does tshuva, his sins turn around 180 degrees and become zechuyot. Not only are they not negative points, but they turn into positive points. And this is the Kabbalistic concept that we mentioned before, the idea that this world is alma deshikra. A lot of times we look at the world and we think we understand what's going on, and it turns out we really don't understand what's going on. Everybody in their life knows different personal experiences. I think I might have mentioned once in my own life that when the army told me that I came on Aliyah at the age of 17, so I have to do 3 years. And even though I was married and my wife was pregnant, and I wasn't planning on doing 3 years in the army, but it was the worst thing that could happen to me, so I thought. And in the end, because of they told me I had to do either 3 years or the Hesder program, which is a year, and at the time a year and 3 months in the army, so I was able to learn another 4 years in yeshiva, and that's how I built myself in Torah knowledge, and learned for smicha for the rabbinate, and got a teacher's degree, and all of it was a direct outcome of the fact that I thought something terrible had happened, and it turned out that exact thing that you might think is terrible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very soon may turn it around. By the way, we don't always see it turn around. Sometimes it might just turn around in the world to come. Nevertheless, this is another point. The final point, I want to look together in the Ramban. In source number, here we go. Where's the Ramban? Source 16. The Ramban, at the beginning of Sefer Breshit, he writes that what is the greatness of creation? He writes that behotza'at yesh me'ayin, that when God created something from nothing, before God created the world, there was nothing, and then he created matter, from that matter came domain, somea, chai, medaber, right? As soon as there was matter, so that matter slowly but surely evolved and improved on the first day, the second day, the third, every day of creation. But the major chidush of God was what he did on the first day, where he went from zero to matter. Yesh me'ayin. Ayin is from the word ein. Now the question is, okay, anybody who ever, lahavdil, went to a magician, when you see a magician perform, he always saves his best trick for the last, right? Now, if God did his best trick first, creating the world from nothing, what can he do as a, what do they call that? Encore. Right, you know, at the end, right, the end, at the end of a performance. I remember one time we went to see a performer, and this guy had one fantastic song, and it was a real hit. And on the way to the concert, I remember telling my wife, "I wonder if he'll sing that song first, his first song, or his last song, because he really only has one famous song." And maybe he has other good songs, but he has only one famous song. And in the end, he turned out playing his big hit also as his first song to get everyone into a good mood, and also as his last song as the encore. In other words, somebody who does his first best trick at the beginning, from there on, it's all downhill. So what could God do that's even greater than creating the world from nothing? And here is the answer. The answer is v'nahafochu. Because when God went from zero to one, he climbed one stage. So what does God do for an encore? What's even greater than that? To go from negative one to positive one. From negative one up to zero and up to positive one is an aliyah of two stages. And that's even greater than going from zero to one. In other words, to take that negative one, erase the minus, and turn it into something positive. And that is the way that God is seen today, even after God decided that he doesn't want to do supernatural miracles anymore. What does he do? He does v'nafohu. That irony of turning something around 180 degrees is even greater than, like tshuva. That's the Gemara that we brought in Masechet Yoma, right? Where Chazal say, when you do tshuva, what you thought was a sin, and you improve, you erase the negative, and you turn it into a positive. And the more sins that you did, when you do tshuva, the more positive it is. The same thing. The more negative something is for the Jewish people, when the table turns around, the greater the victory, even greater than Yesh Miayin. So to summarize, we mentioned 8 reasons why the 22 letters of the climbing and the 22 letters of Haman's downfall, that 44 times that Haman is mentioned, the dam that Haman wanted to spill. Why is this so important that the Maharal says this is the essence of the Megillah? The same reason why Yitro, that's what convinced him to convert to Judaism. What are the 8 points? Number 1, this is the way that you could see God in nature. Because if something is too ironic, too much of a coincidence, that's a sign that it's not a coincidence. Point number 2, it shows that God is Midah Keneged Midah. He is a just and righteous judge, and the enemies can't complain to God because what they wanted to do to us, God just did the same thing to them. Point number 3 is that God shows through this idea of v'nafochu that he is totally in charge. You choose the weapons, you choose the tree, you choose what you want to do to the Jewish people, and God just turns it around 180 degrees and it boomerangs onto you. Shows total control. Point number 4 is that it shows us that even when things are going down, it's not really going down. That just like a spring has to go down in order to jump higher, that is the way that we have to understand how God runs the world. Point number 5 is that when you see the negative, it helps us appreciate the Yeshua, the redemption, that much more. Point number 6 was that, and by the way, the more you appreciate it that much more, the more we will praise Hashem and thank Hashem and copy Hashem, emulate Hashem. Then point number 7 is the idea that it shows that this world is Alma Deshikra, a world of deceit. What you see is just a facade. God is really pulling the strings behind, and everything in the end is for the best. And the 4th and final point, and my favorite point, is that, and you heard it here first, it's an original idea based on the Ramban, that after God created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, what can he do that's even greater than creating something from nothing? It is to take a situation which is less than nothing and turn it around into an aliyah of 2 shlevim.